Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the Outsiders Podcast, where three childhood best friends discuss their trials and tribulations in a fantasy hockey pool known as the Maple Hockey Pool. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for episode 6 of the Outsiders Podcast. This episode is called Dad. Because that is the name of our guest of honor. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Mr. Hallway to Heaven, a.k.a. Kapanen, as well as Mr. Fuznetsov, a.k.a. Fuben, a.k.a. Scotia Bankstrom. How are you guys this evening?
Not too bad. And yourself?
I feel pretty good.
Pretty good, good.
Great.
So thanks for joining, guys. And I think this is going to be a very intense episode. I get that sense because, you know, we're approaching the end of the season, but we also have a giant of a guest that's going to be joining us in a bit.
Yeah.
But before we bring our guests on, I really want to get a sense from you guys what you think of the playoff picture so far, how, you know, basically in terms of how things are unfolding right now. And I'm going to start with Mr. Fuznetsov to weigh in on that.
I think that, you know, Don't Pay a Cent is really, really upset that he missed the GM meeting last week. And he's taking it out on his opponent right now. I love how tight it is. I'm completely surprised that a team like Don't Pay a Cent is this this close. And I have to take my hat off to him. He's overcoming all the odds. And it's a great matchup, and I'm really proud of him. I'm proud of his skill.
Me too. He's putting in an effort. With a 2-week final matchup, it's giving guys the two contestants more of a chance to be involved and make moves and stay into the game. But for missing the GM meetings, I think he's putting up a pretty good fight.
Yeah. Right?
So, Mr. Hallway to Heaven, yeah. Like if you were in this situation right now,
yeah,
where Don't Pay a Cent event is, yeah, and you know, given like who your opponent is, like how amped would you be?
I'd be pretty amped. Think? I mean, if I didn't have a broken ankle, I'd probably go break fucking Steve's fingers so that he couldn't pick anybody up. But you know what? Again, going back to the dynasty thing, like he can make history here, like. I don't know how long we'll be doing this, and I don't know how long we'll be going on for, but 4 in a row or 4 total, either way, that's huge, man.
That's huge.
So we'll see where we finish.
And Mr. Fuznetsov, do you think maybe you know, last week's episode lit a fire under Don't Pay a Cent event's ass?
You know what? I would say that if it didn't do that, then we're not doing our job. Because we gave the guy zero respect, we gave the guy zero praise, and we all forgot that he led the league in points. And he's absolutely using the gasoline that we poured out last week. So,
correct.
I commend him, and I feel terrible for not giving him the praise that he deserves.
Well, in the last episode, don't forget, we all just bashed him and said that Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to demolish him. It wasn't going to be a contest. But going on, what, 8-9 days, he's –
he's there.
And he's projected to win too by a couple points. So I mean, it's going to be a tight one right to the end.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Mr. Hallway to Heaven, because you know I'm eating my words right now because I did say verbatim.
Yeah.
That Don't Pay a Cent event was going to get slapped.
Yeah,
and right now he's putting up a battle, but I think this is a win-win because if Don't Pay a Cent event wins, then this is a guy who, you know, it's his first time winning. But if Stone Cold Steve Austin wins, this is a dynasty. Yeah. Right? This is a fourth win in a row.
So. I think either way, it'll end a good season. I mean, we could have a new champ and some people happy in the pool, or we could have a reigning champ and history made and everybody pissed off and rattled. So I mean, either way, it'll be a good.
It's a good final outcome, podcast. Yeah.
I love it. And before we bring in our guests, there's one last question I wanted to ask you guys, because this came up amongst some of the general managers, and I have a strong view on this, and I'm curious to know what you guys think. The finals, for whatever reason, has been a two-week matchup, whereas every other matchup throughout the year is only a week. Do you guys like this two-week final, or would you prefer to see it as a week?
I actually, Foo, you mind if I go?
Go ahead.
Okay. I actually like it being a two-week final because teams that are on top of the league right now are going to be resting guys in the last week of regular season, right? That being said, other teams are still in races, so there's guys that are going to be pushing hard to get ahead, right? Like certain players, like if you look at Leon Draisaitl is not a great example of the Oilers, but I mean, he's putting up all kinds of points, but they're done. Let's be realistic, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's guys that are in there that are still going to be putting up points for the teams that are in a playoff race, but there's also guys on top that are going to be, you know, taking a back seat and taking a day off or two. That doesn't help, like, your top players being sat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I see what you're saying. I like the idea that your team has 2 weeks to prove themselves.
Yeah.
Because let's be real, it's fantasy. Like, anything can happen in 1 week. So to have 2 weeks, you know, it shows a little bit of consistency. And that's where I think that Don't Pay a Cent event is going to edge him out. His team has been unreal all year getting points. So, I don't know. I kind of had a change of heart.
Yeah, we'll see where we land at the end of this week, man. I think next week's podcast is going to be completely fired because,
a reigning champion and a guy who's going to make me probably quit this friggin' pool, or a guy who's been in the dumps for how many years and pulling out of it with a W. So I think we're in for a good story.
So it sounds like you guys are both on side for the 2 week final. I mean, for me personally, I feel like you have the season for your team to prove its worth. And the reality is that, like, this idea that only the finals should be 2 weeks because, like, the best team has to win is just kind of silly because you have upsets all the time. Like, every other matchup is just a week. So it's not actually fact that the best teams make it to the final. It's good teams that have been lucky.
That's right.
Then make it about, it should be the best team out of those two teams is really, it doesn't really make much sense to me.
It does not make any sense because you got a 6 month period of trying to pick up guys that are hot and then you pick them up and they're duds. So, I mean, they can be our commissioner was actually brought up a good point that he's only got two original players from his draft on the team. And he was giving him shit about that. But I condone that. That's making moves and adjustments to your team so you don't fall into the dumps. You know what I mean? Like, he's scratching and clawing to stay on top. But
it just feels like it's dragging on a bit.
It does.
It would just be nice to have a winner. And it's been kind of a snooze fest, but we'll actually get a winner at the end of this week. So before we bring in our guest, are you guys sticking with your pick for who's going to win this week?
I will because I don't want to backpedal on my words, and I would love to see everybody in the pool go bonkers if Steve wins.
I'm just going to say one thing before I make my prediction. I love that you said that this thing has been a snooze fest. I see more excitement at the library
during
than what's going on in this pool. And with that being said, I'm going to have to give it to Don't Pay a Cent event, but this is ridiculous. The lack of passion, the lack of energy, I'm appalled.
What I enjoy is that Al has actually been laying down for a couple of weeks now and unable to do anything but talk shit. So he's been the only guy in there that's kind of poking the bear a little bit, but in the group chat.
Well, yeah.
So I guess we're all going to stick with our picks because those are the picks that we made. But one thing that's kind of freaking me out is Steve seems a little bit too happy.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's got something up his sleeve, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out. I want to know something. How many ads do they get a week? Is it the same as throughout the regular season?
My understanding is that they only got two ads. The same. So for the 2 weeks, they only got two ads, not two per week.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
That's my understanding. I could be wrong, but I think that's it.
Okay.
A good question.
Okay, so thanks a lot, gentlemen. With that, we'll take a quick commercial break, and we'll bring in Dad, our guest of honor.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, buddy.
Okay, thanks. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us back. We now have our guest of honor, who is Suter McGavin, a.k.a. Dad. Those are actually his initials. Thanks for joining us, Dave, on this Monday evening. We appreciate it.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Okay. So for listeners out there, I'll give you a bit of background on Dave's record. So Dave, to be frank, I've looked at your profile here. Your record is not that impressive for a fantasy general manager. You have 129 wins, 115 losses, and 7 ties. You have a winning percentage of just over 50%. You're at 52.8%. You have nice. an average finish of 8th out of 9, which I mean that's not great. But
how is that possible? Because I haven't not made the playoffs in like 6 or 7 years.
Have you ever won?
I'm telling you, it's on.
Is this an interview or is it a roast? I don't understand what this is.
That was a real question.
Jesus Christ! All right.
Okay, let's settle down. I know there's a lot of passion. Let's just take a moment. You're a silver general manager, and your rating is 628. But with that said, and we shouldn't forget this, you are a former champion. You've won the trophy twice.
Twice, yeah.
So with that, you know your name is forever cemented in history in this pool, right?
That is correct. It is cemented.
So, Dave, with that, this is the hot seat. Mr. Kuznetsov and Mr. Hallway to Heaven pick who they want to have on. They've picked you, and this is their show now. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Kuznetsov to kick it off. All that we ask for is that you answer questions honestly and respectfully, okay?
Well, I mean, you can go fuck yourself, but let's try it.
We just have
Suter McGavin. We're very excited to have you on, Suter McGavin.
I don't know why, but that's okay.
You bring the fire and you don't quit. That's what we love.
I bring the fire when I pee. That's about it.
Okay.
Well, I'll get right.
Let's get it started. Yeah.
I think that first and foremost, you're one of the best GMs in the league. You have passion. You bring excitement. You make this pool enjoyable to be in. With that being said, there's always been one guy who's the Mario to your Wario. He's your, he's your arch nemesis, and he goes by the name of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he's had tremendous success. So my question to you is, how has Steve's success impacted your personal life? Like, has it impacted your train of thought, your mental, your relationship, your finances? Like, how does his winning and success affect your life?
I can't even get an erection these days, to be honest with you. I mean, it's just hanging there. It's like pushing rope. It just won't go anywhere. It's affecting all my, like, everything in my life, 100%.
Because you have the same relationship with Steve, with Stone Cold Steve Austin, as I do with Kuznetsov and Peter Norstars. I mean, we've all grown up together, but you grew up in a different area, but kind of merged groups. Now, like I've said it in past podcasts, where if Kuznetsov or Peter Norstars had dummied me in this pool or basically anything in life, I'd probably fight them. But that's just because we're boys, and you know what I mean, we push each other to be better. But in this case it's really burning. It's really burning you guys.
Well, you're now a part of it,
yeah,
right?
Well,
so
I'm only in year one, so you can't really blame me for the past three. Maybe one trade you can hold against me where I gave him Riley, but I mean, other than that, I got really nothing to do with it.
Well, I'll say this. First of all, that GM for the longest time, struggled to really do much in the pool.
Okay.
I think in his first 8 years, didn't really do anything.
Okay.
I think had maybe one finals appearance, finished second, and like back then it wasn't matchup. I think he finished second on points, and then he tanked 1 year, then he won it, and then the following year he finished dead last again, and then it's just been like a fucking disaster for the last three seasons.
But has he always won this way? Like
Steve won his first championship after. At Raping the Wire, yeah, the last few years, absolutely. His waiver pickups, without a doubt, have just caught fire. He has, you know, be it a combination of insight, be it a combination of staying up all hours of the night and studying fantasy while other people sleep for the work the next day. It's just a combination of horrors, and for better or for worse, his waiver pickups just continue to dominate. You look at a guy like Dylan Larkin, 39 fantasy points last week. Ricard Raquel, a hat trick Saturday or Sunday. They just stupidity. Fucking stupidity all around.
Yep.
Justin Williams, again, the guy has been on. Who the fuck is Justin Williams?
He's a veteran, bro, but Steve knows that.
I'm a veteran. What veteran? What is this? This is nonsense. Okay.
Right. Let's take a quick second. And Frank, yeah. I appreciate your passion, but we got to let him finish.
Yeah, sorry. I
Fu's question because Fu asked an important question, Dave, which was that he wants to understand. It's a personal question. How this has impacted your personal life? For example, you have a beautiful wife at home.
Mm-hmm.
She must know how much this gets under your skin. Does she live this battle with you?
I feel like I'm on pins and needles every single day when I get home. I can't eat. I can't sleep. Like I alluded to before, I can't make love anymore.
Mm.
It's ruining my life. And if I had a son, I wouldn't be able to look him in the eye right now because I'm living in this fucking horror. This is a nightmare. This is my nightmare. I can't to think that GM has made what maybe a collective like $4,000 on this pool, has traveled the world with our money, with my money. I would rather take $200 and light it on fire in front of my wife than give that man another penny. That's
it's true. Right.
Wow.
Wow. True.
Okay.
That's why I wanted him.
That's I think that satisfied your question, Mr. Fuznetsov. Are you good with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's turn it over to Mr. Hallway to Heaven. Why don't you give Dave your question?
Okay. So Dave, you know, other than the pool being personal between friends and bringing in the way your wife after you get home from work, you're all miserable and stuff. Do you feel as if you have been undermined and kind of overlooked as a past champion due to the fact that this guy's about to win his fourth? And again, that being said, is it a fair statement that you're being overlooked as a good GM by having two under your belt? You know what I mean?
I think right now the pool is just shrouded in this hellhole. We have been strangled to death for 3 years, and we've lost sight of ourselves. We've lost sight of what's real, what's not real. It's a living nightmare. And I, you know what? Do I feel overshadowed? I mean, when someone builds a dynasty, how could anyone feel like they have any
respect?
How can you feel like you have any sense of respect when, you know, when not only is this pool under control by basically one person, but this is the bigger issue for me. How do we allow this thing to continue? I mean,
that leads me to my second question. That leads me to my second question, Mr. Suter. So,
yeah.
Was the introduction to the outsiders a factor in trying to say, okay, if we add more teams to the league, there's a less likely chance that Stone Cold Steve Austin goes all the way again. Did that ever come up in discussion when bringing in the outsiders?
Well, I don't think the intention of bringing the outsiders into the pool was to impede his forward progress, but certainly, by sheer numbers, you greatly reduced the odds of repeating. And yet, somehow, some way, here we are again on this roller coaster straight to hell. So I don't know where it's going to end, but if Al has any shot, you know, hockey gods, I hope you're listening. The time has come. Let's go.
That's right.
Mr. Shirley McGavin, Frank, I thought hit an important point, and I'm not going to let you off the hook. I think it's a very simple question. Do you feel like your legacy is not respected in this league? And the reason why I think he's asking that is because you're often piping up saying, hey guys, remember I won those two times. Don't forget about me. Real champions typically do not have to do that because their legacy is cemented. Do you feel overlooked?
No, I don't. And you know what? As far as my legacy, my name is on the cup, no matter what happens, number one. Number two, I was the first GM to really take winning to another level as far as celebrating it, loving it, embracing it. I mean, Jesus Christ, I had our draft catered for fuck's sakes after I won. This is the level of commitment and excellence that I wanted, that I exuded, and that I demanded of people in this pool. So is my legacy tarnished? Absolutely not. I feel like when I won back in 2015 that I took the pool to the next level. And from there, you know, now we live in this era, and unfortunately it's been a nightmare. But you know what? Hey, the sun will rise tomorrow. There will be a new day. We just got to get through that.
That's right. That is correct.
I like that. So with that, why don't we see if Mr. Kuznetsov has anything to add in terms of questions?
What I can do is I want to add one more thing to the hot seat. And I do, like I said before, you're probably my favorite GM to have in this league just because of your commitment to excellence. But one thing I really want to just – I want to touch upon this. I speak to a lot of the GMs, and I've yet to hear a GM say that they're not a good GM, okay? And I understand that there's a big thing to do with ego and, you know, everybody – you know, we're human. We all think we make good decisions. But do you think that Stone Cold Steve Austin has won these championships consecutively because he's a dominant GM? Or do you guys actually suck and think that you're actually good? Like, I'm curious now because it seems like everyone hates Stone Cold Steve Austin. Is that because of admiration or is it fear?
Mm-hmm. So that's, you know what, to answer that question, we should probably break down his championship run and look at it year by year. Because then I think that'll paint a better picture. So his first win of the last 3 years, the year before he had finished dead last and had basically bought his assets and came in hot. So he was already ahead of the curve. No surprise there. The following season, by the deadline, he had been trading his team away. He was actually tanking. Maybe the outsiders don't know this, but his second championship run, he was fire sailing his team, and he picked up a couple guys. Anders Lee, Getzlaff had a ridiculous second half, and somehow, some way, managed to scrape and claw his way in a just like true underdog fashion and win a second championship. Last year, he had not only great picks, and again, there's no question that his keepers are stellar, and they've always been the backbone of his championship runs, but he made some good ad drops, but he got a lot of help with these trades. I've been very vocal on the subject. When you have a bully, you don't hand him a bat. You take him down at the knees. And these GMs are just not getting the message. Okay. We need to come together on this collectively and bury this fucker and just have a new, you know, a new era.
Now, does that mean that this offseason you will not be sending him any trade requests because he's got no picks?
No. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to look at him. Like, that's where it's gone to. Like, I love the guy dearly. He's a great GM, but, like, we gotta come together on this. He has no picks, what, in the first 4 or 5 rounds next year? We have to bury this fucker. I want $200 out of him donated to the pool next year and him not even sniffing the playoffs. That's where this pool needs to be next year.
Dave, based on that response, I have to call you out on it. And it's really out of love because I'm not sure if you listened to the previous episode, but a lot of us, me in particular, look up to you like a father figure. And for your hero to go out there and say, we need to collude together to beat this guy, I don't feel that way. Because you know why, Dave? Steve's not going to touch another championship. He got one lucky round this year because our team sucked. He's not getting anything going forward. He's going to get slapped around. Okay? It's not going to happen. And it's not going to be from collusion. It's just going to be because we're better general managers.
Right.
I like where that's
okay?
going.
You are a smart, charismatic, high-energy guy. You don't need to not trade with them. You just need to make better trades than him. You need to be ahead of him.
Yeah.
Don't undersell yourself.
That's what brings me to my question. It's like, is he really that good? Or are you guys honestly – is it – I know you gave me the scenarios. We know we had a bad team this year. We know these things. So, you know, our expectations weren't that high. You guys have been on this roller coaster with him, and he's just at the front of the cart every time.
I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to put it out there. There are some GMs in this league who absolutely suck at trades. They do not know how to evaluate their own talent or the talent of other players. And Steve has been feasting on certain GMs in this league, like some of us as well, for years.
Wow.
I'm not going to name drop out of respect for this pool.
No name drop.
But certainly that's one of the reasons as to why, you know, Steve made a comment today that all his championships are his. Within reason, I will say that that is true. Okay, keepers, outstanding. Waiver pickups, for the most part, have been on point. But these trades are just brutal. And if we go back and break down some of the ones over time, like, it is ridiculous. And this is what I say. It's not so much the fact that I want to collude against him. It's just that I know there's a lot of stupidity being thrown around in this league when it comes to these trades.
Then you got to be the first guy out there making those trades. Steve is always open to making a deal. I don't know about Mr. Fuznetsov or Mr. Hallway to Heaven. Whenever I've approached Steve about a deal, he's always been open to listening. He never shuts it down.
But there's no need to. This is what I'm saying. The man is without his first 4 or 5 draft picks next year. If everyone just looked away and just let it play out, it would burn. It would burn to the ground. Instead, we throw blankets on this tire fire because certain people in this league are just, again, like, there's 11 other GMs to trade with and so much other talent available. Don't look in that general direction. Let this fire burn to the ground.
I would just like to see his team go back into the draft because that would make for a huge 3-4 rounds of drafting. If his whole team went back into the draft except for his keepers.
If we're talking about, you know, if we're talking about best case scenarios, I want to see his team get can I use the term? I don't know if I can use it here, but let's just say I want to do a GM swap and bring back some ghosts of Christmas Past in replace of certain GMs now.
Okay.
We'll just leave it at that.
There you go. Fire, dragon.
Yeah, I think I want to bring it into my next thing, Joel. Remember we talked about that 10 thing? Remember my
for sure.
Yeah, maybe why don't you just let him know what we want to do with him?
So Dave, we have this segment called 10 for 10. It's brought to you by Mr. Fuznetsov. And basically, he asks you, I can't remember if it's a full-length question or just a word, but you have to respond with one word.
Yeah.
Whatever comes to mind first.
I'm going to say something to you, Suter McGavin, and I want the first thing that comes to your mind. It doesn't have to be quick, but it has to be real and honest.
One-word answer.
Yeah, one-word answer. So I'm going to start it off with a Greek Geno Master.
Heavy.
How about passion?
Totally.
How about Suter McGavin?
Dad.
Legend.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh. The draft day.
Heaven.
The Outsiders.
Broke.
Don't pay a cent event.
Crippled.
The name Stephen Landolfi.
Disgust.
Ooh, and there it is. The truth.
Wow. That was huge. And I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate the commitment to being integral. That was very high integrity, high passion. I'm really happy that you were able to do that for us.
Look, at the end of the day, we got to remind ourselves we're all friends. And I said it today in one of the group chats when I was commenting on something that was about to happen to me earlier this evening. How bad can my life really be? And at the end of the day, we play for fun. There's a little bit of money involved. There's bragging rights. There's nothing but love in this group, 100% for my fellow GMs. And that includes 100%. Everyone. Beautiful. But that being said, you know, do I want to see some people, you know, be injured for a little bit, maybe get like a rash, you know, maybe have the shits in public? Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And to be clear, and I think you're right, Dave, my challenge on behalf of the Outsiders to Steve that he won't touch another championship, although it sounds intense, it's really out of respect because we want to beat him at his own game, right?
Well, good luck. He's basically destroyed his pool for 3 years.
Yeah, no, he's the champ. He's got a target on his back, but I think he knows that, and I actually like that.
Oh, he knows really, it now for sure. If he didn't know before, he knows it now.
But he rises to the occasion, and I'm not sure if Hallway to Heaven has any more questions for you, but there was one thing I wanted to ask you, or maybe call you out on a little bit.
Sure.
Where did you go the first week of the playoffs? Because you have been incredibly vocal as of late. And for the first week, Dave, you were silent. What happened? You were not the guy that we know.
You know what? I, out of respect for the hockey gods, I thought, you know what? I'm going to sit back, let it ride out, see what happens. But
the turtle went back into his shell, buddy. What do you mean? Come on. It's okay. We've all been there. First round exits are terrible, especially when you have a team like yours. But the turtle went back into the shell because we said this is what's going to happen. We already knew Steve was going to make a run.
I had – at one point, I had cut it to 1 point on the Saturday night, and then he got an empty netter, which basically buried me, and then Sunday was a slow burn. The passion was not there. You just have a feeling in the pit of your gut when things are not going right, and you've seen how this story plays out before. And I was trying not to poke the bear, and didn't end up, you know, didn't help me at all at the end. And here I am being super sour, little too late, Johnny come lately. And here we are. I'm on a fucking podcast now. It's 10 o'clock on a Monday.
Yep.
And I'm praying to God that Windsor somehow pulls off the fucking miracle. And it's hard to say miracle, really, because Steve brought up a good point. The man did finish with the most points overall.
Yeah.
And this, so you know, it kills me. When we think about it, Steve is the underdog this season. His team wasn't spectacular points-wise. He finished somewhere, you know, I think he finished fourth on the wins, but points total was maybe, fifth or sixth, somewhere in the standings.
Yeah.
And it looked like there was going to be some heavy hitters. John, Torquia, and Windsor now, who managed to squeak out to the finals. But we'll see. We'll see how this plays out.
Well, I look forward to seeing you at the draft, buddy.
Am I not going to see you before then, or how does that work?
Probably.
I don't think I want to see any GMs that were at the GM meeting in Montreal last weekend. I think I need to avoid eye contact with a lot of people. There are some moments in life where we just got to sit back and you know, put it in our memoirs.
I think we should leave it right at that. So thank you very much, Mr. Sudhir McGavin, for coming on. Your passion and honesty is
a blast.
It's why you have so many fans.
And when do I get paid?
Never.
Well, I'm sure
Steve, February, buddy.
I'm sure Steve would give you a little piece of his pot if he won, right?
Maybe take you on a trip.
We call those promise pizzas.
Promise. Okay, boys. That was well done.
All right, buddy.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Have a great night, gentlemen.
Enjoy.
And let's end it on a good luck to both Windsor and Steve before this run ends.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's in order. And I mean that sincerely.
Yeah. Good luck the rest
absolutely.
Of the way.
Absolutely.
All right.
Take care, everyone.
Have a good night.
Later.
Take care. Brush your hair.